Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Continuing to take you through this evening. Cardinals had a tough one today. Had a tough series. Had a tough road trip. They're back at home tomorrow. They are going to match up against the San Diego Padres. We had Bernie Miklas on in the 6 o'clock hour. He'll be part of the Gas House Gang tomorrow. He mentioned the guest list for tomorrow includes Will Leach and also Padres manager Mike Schilt, the former Cardinal manager, is expected to be on with the Gas House Gang coming up tomorrow. Appreciate the comments from the real third man talking about the Cardinals, and still has a lot of optimism, saying the Cardinals could be the 2022 Philadelphia Phillies, saying the Cardinals could be the 2024 Detroit Tigers, saying the Cardinals could be the 2023, I assume he means Diamondbacks, wrote Razorbacks, but I know what you mean, Diamondbacks, teams that were in a really tough spot and turned it on late and eventually made a playoff run. I mean, they could. Do I think they will be? I haven't closed the door to this being a playoff team, and I know there's people who are laughing at me saying that, but this team is incredibly flawed. The possibility of this team going on one of those runs does not seem likely. And to set things up, and here's the other thing. I talked about this a little bit today with Kevin during the Redbird Rush Hour. And this is gonna sound weird and crazy and wrong, probably, because I wouldn't even totally buy into this. If they start trading some pieces off, the way some of these area groups, so you know, the way the team's played here recently, how much of a step back do they actually take? I would be excited to see some of the younger relievers get a bigger opportunity, and that's going to happen if a Ryan Helsley and a Phil Maton and a Steven Matz get traded away. If you want to join us, this is the opportunity for phone calls, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. How are you feeling about things? Obviously, the Cardinals are in a not-so-great spot right now. Text message comes in from Teresa. Says, the Cardinals team is deflated, but they still have spark and pride. Given the chance, could do wonders. I've seen it before. They have to have better starting pitching, or they will be sliding away. It's so important to me. Says, what aggravates me is it's not been tended to when it needs to be. It's not an Oliver Marmol problem. You can see and hear the frustration in his voice. Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think you can hear the frustration in his voice. I'm sure he was pleased that the team does move on from Eric Fetty to give Michael McGreevy that opportunity. Not so much the Fetty part. Like that sounds like a personal attack. It's not that, but it's an upgrade. It is an upgrade in the rotation. McGreevy gives you a better chance to win than Fetty. Are there going to be other areas where the Cardinals can upgrade while still potentially selling at the deadline? Let's grab Mike, who's giving us a call. Hey, Mike, you are on Sports Open Line.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, just a couple quick things, a couple thoughts regarding the Cardinals. And I've been a DeWitt apologist for quite a while. But do they have any idea just how poor they are at public relations? I mean, this is an internationally known brand. They're actually that socially awkward friend that you have to take to a dinner party, and you cringe every time that they speak. It's horrible. I mean, they can't get their messaging right. They change it midstream, or they just completely get it wrong. I mean, this timing, like everybody else has said, this club was probably the only people who wanted to give Fetty a chance. They've taken a playoff team, or at least somebody on the cusp, and took that away just for whatever reason to keep running Fetty out there. And I'll give him credit for the way he handled it. That's the first thought on that. Do you have any idea why are they hiding Bloom? And can you tell us any idea, or do you have any idea what kind of a guy he is? Because nobody seems to know. And I hope it's not another. I hope it's somebody who can relate to the fans. And the last thing is on Arenado. A lot of people don't. I guess the thought process is you can't trade him now. It's easier to trade him in the offseason. And I completely disagree, because that was your main goal this offseason, was to trade him. And you couldn't do it. And he's done nothing to make it easier. So you've got the Dodgers sitting out there who are desperate for relief help and at third base. You do whatever you have to do. And if it means sending Helsley with him, which I would hate to do it, but if you look at the return that you would get individually and the money that you're going to have to pay for Arenado, if you can get that money off the books, you then free up two roster spots, and you can go out and get a power bat for the outfield. You eliminate. Yeah, you don't get anything in return, or very little, but what is more important right now, this lineup needs somebody in there daily that can actually make a difference.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate the phone call. So if it takes Helsley to move Arenado and you're not going to get much in return, I'm not doing it. Ryan Helsley is the single most valuable player who is likely to get traded. Now, if they were to trade a Brendan Donovan or a Mason Wynn, that would be different. But those aren't on the list of guys that you think there's a really high probability that they would trade. So of the guys who there's a high probability they would trade, Ryan Helsley is the guy who gets you the most return. So no, I would not package Helsley as a way to move the Arenado contract. Now, and the other side of this, I just don't know how much interest Arenado has. Even we know that the Cardinals would have to eat a lot of the payroll for him for next year, especially. In a couple of years, the number goes down to a respectable spot, but it's still tough next year. I think they're willing to do that. They were willing to do that when that Astros deal was in place. So that's fine. Everything I read, everything I see is there's not a whole lot of interest from other teams for Arenado, and you can't force other teams to be interested. So maybe something presents itself in the next week. If it does, and it's a team that he'd be willing to go to, that would be great. But I don't think there's a ton of interest. In terms of who Chaim Bloom is as a guy, man, this is a great dude. There's just salt of the earth, human being, who I do think Cardinals fans are going to be able to relate to. I've had a handful of conversations with him when I see him around the ballpark. I've never once spoken to him about baseball stuff. I like just talking to him to get to know him a little bit, ask him how his family's doing, the moving process, all that sort of stuff. I really enjoy talking to Chaim Bloom, and his track record as a baseball guy, especially when you see what he did in Tampa, speaks for itself. Super, super smart guy. He's going to make mostly good decisions. If you want to base the decisions he's going to make based off the people he's brought in, the Rob Serfolios, the Matt Pierpont, the Larry Days, home run all the way around. Real quick, we got time for just one more call before we get to a break and a guest. Steve has given us a call. Hey, Steve, you are on Sports Open Line.
Yeah, I love listening. You're great. I think the problem the Cardinals have is the Cardinal fans are very knowledgeable. I would argue that I'm 6 years old and lived all over the country, was born here. They know when they're being fed a line, and I think, and I hate to say this because I don't think Ollie's done a bad job, but so many, and it's the fans talking. It's the people that come in and buy the hot dogs and drink the beer and buy the tickets and watch it on TV. To a man, 80% of the people that regime has to, I know it's going away, but so many people feel, right or wrong, and you can speak to it, that Ollie is a Mosellock apologist. This whole mantra of Mosellock putting his nose in the air and talking to the fans as if we're village idiots and acting like and giving these half answers. The guy that just spoke was exactly right. We're not idiots. And what's going on is we see this stodgy, well, we won 10 straight playoffs. We did this. We did that. This team is a disaster because of John Mozeliak. I love the Cardinals, but this is a mess. And I think you've got to – I hope that Bloom comes in and takes Ollie out with Mozeliak. And I don't think Ollie's done a horrible job. But the perception by the fans is that he's a John Mozeliak mouthpiece. And this thing is – it reeks.
I appreciate it. We got to get to break here because I got a guest coming up. I think we've seen in the last week or so, more longer than that, where Ollie has made it very clear that he wanted McGreevy in the rotation and he didn't get it. They are not always like-minded. I understand the reason that sometimes people say that about Ollie. I push back on it, and I think we've seen more lately. And I would just remind people, the guy who is sitting in the chair – before Ollie lost the job because of the amount of pushback that he gave. And that was always something that I think was hovering over the head of what's going on here. I would love to see Oliver Marmol be able to manage this team when Heim Bloom is the person making the decisions and see what that looks like. Danny Wexelman from ESPN joins us next. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line continues right here on KMOX, your home for the Cardinals. They play day baseball today, so we've got a full show tonight. Mike Shildt and the San Diego Padres rolling into town for a four-game series tomorrow night. You can hear it right here on KMOX again. Shildt will be on the Gas House Gang tomorrow during the 12 o'clock hour. Will Leach will also join tomorrow as Chris Ranji and Bernie Miklas will be with you. Right now, we are incredibly happy to welcome on one of our favorite people to be able to talk baseball with. She is a St. Louisan, originally covers the game for ESPN in addition to some other outlets. She is Danny Wexelman. You follow her on Twitter at Danny, D-A-N-I. Wex, W-E-X. Danny, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, you know I love to be on with you guys. Sorry it's been so long. Thanks for being patient with my schedule. And please do me a favor and tell Will Leach I said hello and I miss him. And he's such an icon. So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to talk ball with you.
He is the best. He is a regular contributor here. So we're glad to be able to know him. So you're obviously originally from St. Louis. You talk to people in St. Louis, friends, family, and everything. The folks that you're talking to, what are they feeling right now about a Cardinals team that just lost a series to a very bad Rockies team?
Sad. I think sad is probably the first word that comes to mind. And the text that I get from my friends and people who work in the industry, too. Is upsetting and frustrated and confused. It's like basically like the five stages of grief, I feel like, if you're a Cardinals fan right now. And I think what's the worst part about this is that the pitching staff has the worst ERA in baseball. And this team, there's no other team in baseball that strikes out more than them. So on both sides of the baseball, the Colorado Rockies are an embarrassment to the game right now. It's their year to be that team. And then to get shut out by them, you got swept by the Diamondbacks, who just finished an awful series wrapping up. Like, it's massive confusion to me. And it's frustrating because it was really just a month and a half ago this team was in second place, and they looked like a club that could contend for a postseason spot. So, man, I'd say it's a bit depressing right now watching a loss like that and suffering through it. Probably worse, though, for the team. I think Ollie Marmol probably said it best, their worst loss of the season. But, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, for the Rockies, that was their first shutout victory in 220 games.
Yeah, like, you know what we're saying? Like, they are unfortunately the team. They fired Bud Black early in the season. That made zero difference. And their pitching staff, again, has the worst ERA in all of baseball. Their starting staff has the worst ERA in baseball. And then their offense leads the league in strikeout percentage. So the additions of those, like, by my math, makes me think that this is something that should have never happened. And it's a Cardinals team that has an average offense. Their starting pitching staff is really struggling. It's one of the worst in baseball. They have a good bullpen. They have good defense. But, yeah, it's not a situation you should be seeing. And that stinks, right? Because I feel like this is kind of the nail in the coffin. Like, I don't think this is a true representation of who this team is at all. But now if you're John Mozeliak and you're that front office, like, unfortunately, I think this solidifies the direction that you're heading and the pieces that we'll be leaving.
And Heim Bloom comes in next year. We just saw a draft where they drafted a ton of power arms and strikeouts. The team doesn't have a lot of that. The team doesn't have a lot of home runs offensively. Is that maybe kind of thing number one for Heim to just change out the profile, where some of these things that you need to be a winning team, that they get more players with those attributes?
Yeah, man, it's so frustrating because I feel like their offense is a juggernaut. Like, they are average. They put the ball in play. They do struggle in the power department, but, like, they can hang. And so you have to remember, with Heim coming from Boston, he did a really great job, not only with their prior drafts, but the development of some of their young superstars right now. That's all Heim Bloom. Like, a lot of the infrastructure there in Boston is from him. And so I do think that'll translate to the Cardinals. And I think that, number one, like, you've got to have pitchers who have swing and miss stuff in today's game right now, and maybe this changes, but right now that's what you have to have. And unfortunately, the Cardinals are one of the worst teams when it comes to strikeouts. Their starting staff has the third fewest strikeouts, right? It really kind of revolves around that because you're just setting the tone. The bullpen, they're the star of the show right now. And unfortunately, like, that doesn't matter if you can't score runs. They've got a, I think, -4 run differential, which means not only are they not scoring enough, their pitching staff isn't preventing them, right? And that's just a recipe for disaster. So I do think Haim did a wonderful job in the draft. I think this was a big deal for him because this is going to be the first group of guys I think he really has his fingerprints all over. And then it's up to the farm system. And I think there's been criticisms of the farm system and the job they've done in recent years. And so I am hoping that they can kind of get back on track with this new class. And I'm pretty fond of this draft class. A lot of these guys I've known for a long time, known them since they were 13 or 14. Sorry about the honking. So I'm excited about the group that they have, and I think that they're going to be better than people expect.
They're looking up at all but one team in the NL Central, but at the top of the division, you have the Brewers and the Cubs. And I think most people can look at the Cubs and say that's the most talented roster in the division. But the Brewers now have the best record in baseball. They don't have the most talented roster in baseball. How, and we ask this question every single year, but how are the Brewers doing what they're doing?
They are one of the best teams to draft and develop. And I'm kind of lucky because I get to see David Stearns firsthand with the New York Mets. And I kind of get to see how he thinks. He makes himself available to the media. So you kind of understand what he did so well with Milwaukee and why they are able to keep pace every year. It's not that they're the sexy team. It's not that they're doing anything that's so extraordinary. But Jacob Mizorowski is the perfect example of why this team is so good. The development of him, the development of his pitches, to come in at a big league level, and he made Seattle look silly yesterday. I know they didn't get the win, but he made them look silly. He made the Dodgers look silly. He makes everyone look silly, and he's a young kid, and so I think he's the perfect guy to look at and understand why Milwaukee does so well. And I'll tell you this, Pat Murphy is a no BS kind of guy, and he, in the beginning of the year, was like, hello, these are not the standards with which we hold here in Milwaukee. Get your acts together. Christian Yelich is returning to MVP form. If Sal Frelick can be healthy, he'll be a huge contributor there. But they're doing it without Devin Williams, without Willy Adames. I thought they were dead in the water, and here they are. They just play really good baseball. But the concern for them, I think, is the amount of innings on their bullpen. Like, that's like the only glaring red flag I see. Otherwise, like right now today, they could win the World Series.
Then that was kind of be my next question. I don't remember a year, and I know the Dodgers are the World Series favorite, but it feels like maybe 6, 7, 8 teams have a possibility of going on a playoff run and going all the way with it seemingly being wide open. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's how I view it. How impactful can this upcoming trade deadline be where all these teams are going to be looking to find ways to get incrementally better?
Yeah, and unfortunately for the league, the Dodgers are going to get some guys back healthy that essentially acts as a free trade deadline acquisition. They got a bunch of guys in the bullpen who are coming back, and so you have to think about it that way too. It's not just the guys who will literally go team to team, but there's not a ton of meat on the bone right now because there are so many teams that are competing for a postseason spot. That's the expanded playoffs for you, right? It's a good thing for the league, probably bad thing for the front office is trying to figure it out. I think John Mozeliak will have a pretty easy time putting Ryan Helsley in a position to get a really great return. I even think Nolan can still get a great return, even if it's 6 months later than they were hoping. And I kind of think about what would have happened if Nolan would have been traded and they were able to get a swing and miss type guy, or at least get a pitcher who had some power stuff. Like Sonny Gray is the only guy they have in that starting staff that has been of any value of them right now. And I get it. They're developing. Like I'm all in. I'm sold on that. But I would have wondered what would happen if they could have traded him. So I think, you know, Eugenio Suarez of the Arizona Diamondbacks is the hottest name right now because he is top three in home runs in the league. He's hit 8 in the last 2 weeks. He's an amazing clubhouse guy, and he can play third base. The Yankees need a third baseman, right? For the Cubs, I think that they need another arm. They probably could add to their pitching staff in some impactful way. They've done a good job balancing out their lineup, but I think that they're going to be all in. They see the window they have. They traded for Kyle Tucker. Right? You don't go trade for a rental guy for 1 year if you're not going to bolster at the trade deadline. And Milwaukee could use help in the bullpen too. So it's going to be really fascinating. I think teams are still figuring it out, but Arizona, I think, is going to completely unload a lot of different guys. Merrill Kelly, who obviously, and Zach Allen, who the Cardinals are familiar with, he came up through the organization. So yeah, it's going to be chaos. I don't think we're going to see much today or tomorrow, but I think teams are seeing the bigger picture at this point, so we'll see some movement soon.
She is Dani Wechselman, originally from St. Louis. She's awesome to talk baseball with. Dani, thanks so much for taking the time. Enjoy the deadline, and hopefully we can talk to you again down the line.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, and hi to my mom. Hi to St. Louis. I miss you guys.
Awesome. Very good. That's Dani Wechselman joining us here on the program. We appreciate her spending some time with us. We are going to shift gears a bit for in our next segment because when you think about the, I was about to say Mount Rushmore, like I don't know, the current individuals who are kind of the faces of the different organizations. So if you want to think of it as a Mount Rushmore, go ahead. Klaus for City SC is one of those guys, and he appears to be on the way out. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment as a guy who has been as impactful out of everybody who's ever played for that team, not named Berkey, seemingly on his way out of St. Louis. So I think it's worth talking about. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've been talking mostly Cardinals baseball since we ended Cardinals Radio Network coverage. Obviously, they are in a tough spot. Wanted to mention City SC just for a few moments, though, because there's some news coming down, and we're very happy to welcome on our own, but also part of the team over at STL Sports Central covering City SC. It is Matthew Rocchio. Matthew, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Of course, Paulie. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, we got a message earlier about you, just kind of out of nowhere. Is it your birthday today?
It is my birthday. Thank you very much for noticing. Appreciate that.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I know coming on this program is a you know great thing to do on your birthday. Do you have special birthday plans beyond this radio appearance?
No, I'm actually doing a little work on some city stuff. I'm going to sit down and eat some Chinese food and watch a movie with my lovely girlfriend, and I'm going to enjoy I'm going to make a guest appearance on Camo X.
There you go.
Much more on a birthday. It's a perfect birthday, really.
All right, there you go. So let's this Klaus thing. Explain this because it kind of we heard Lutz here on Camo X on Sunday morning basically say changes are coming. He was disgusted with the way they played, and a few days later, Klaus is out. Are those two things connected at all?
Yeah, it's hard not to focus in on the timing, and especially, you know, something that jumps out to me is that the personal professional relationship with Klaus and Lutz goes back a very long time. We've heard Lutz and Klaus both talk about how they've known each other since he was very young, and so that the timing of it's interesting to me. I will say there have been some rumblings about some teams in Brazil coming after Klaus about a week or two ago, and while that nothing else grew off that, I do wonder if maybe this is just like you said, kind of a coincidence kind of thing, because I know on Sports on a Sunday Morning with Tom, he says the only person who had like an acceptable game in Dallas was Berkey. But just rewatching that game, I don't know if Klaus would be one of the players that he would list off as having an effort or a laziness issue, at least not for the first 60 minutes of the game. You know, he didn't drop off right after the goal was scored, which I know was Lutz's big thing. So I know the timing makes it seem like it's connected, but all of these factors make me think this is more connected to value, contract, and those kind of things.
All right, here's your question from somebody who doesn't know enough about soccer. The Club León FC, is this a step up from MLS? What kind of club is he going to? What kind of impact are they expecting out of him?
So I'm seeing what that's being talked about as we translate it. Now, obviously, you know, Google Translate is not always perfect, but Google Translate is telling us that this is to kind of be in the rotation at the striker position. And yes, Club León is a bigger club than St. Louis City SC. Most of the top half of Liga MX, which is the Mexican league, are bigger clubs. You can see that most of the time in how they match up in the League's Cup and things like that. So Club León is a fairly large club, and I think he would just kind of slot into a rotation at the top based on what I'm seeing from the tweets and what I look at their roster.
I get stuck on this way too often, so you could just tell me that I'm wrong and tell me to shut up, and that's fine. But to me, this feels like, another move where one of these original faces of the organizations, the Parkers, the Nowitzkis, the Vasilevs, now the Klaus, like the only guy that's been a face really from the beginning that's still around is Berkey. And it's good if it works because you're trying to make the team better when you're replacing players. But at the same time, for people who fell in love with this team in year number one, it's kind of like, well, where did all those guys go?
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer. But at the same time, I think the funny thing about Lutz's comments this past weekend with Tom is that this team was built to hit the reset button after 3 years if they wanted. And that's why when he mentions all those players who have options, there's just so much roster flexibility that comes up for this team at the end of this year. So while I know it feels like that, and you're definitely right, and that's something that I've seen a lot of fans kind of, you know, put out that same thought. But at the same time, you just have to look at the plan here, and it's clear that based on the contracts they've been giving out and the contracts they gave out when they built this team, they wanted to be able to pivot if they had to after 3 years, and maybe this is the start of it. Klaus, you know, finishes out his original contract after this year. He has an option, but he is playing well, and his value could be at one of the highest they think it ever will be. And so make a move there. You have some striker depth with Bescher and Seti, who have been forced to play out of position. So again, the value aspect, the positional aspect, I can see why this move is being made. The emotional aspect does kind of throw me off.
Again, I'm going to ask a dumb question because the roster designations that go along with MLS, Klaus had the designated player tag, right? Is that correct? Do I have this right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Does this create an opportunity then for a high-end player to be able to use that tag, if that's the right way to ask that question?
So it would open it up for this transfer window, most likely in this next winter window in January. They were going to open up that a designated player slot either way, because how it works is that while he is a designated player now, if he were to accept if the club were to take his option for 2026, the way that the MLS roster works out is that because he's technically on a different contract, or it's not the original deal when he accepts the option, they would then be able to buy him down to a TAM level player, which would then open up the designated player slot. So it would give them flexibility if they want to spend big money in this window, but that flexibility will be allowed to them in January. And I think that's material because they've already spent upwards of $6 million in this transfer window. And I personally don't know if, even with a sale of Klaus, depending on how much money if it is, if they would go out and spend the money that would require another designated player contract.
Do you think they will in the offseason?
That's live, because everything becomes open. I think it's 19 contracts technically end at the end of 2025. Almost all of those have options. So there's so much roster flexibility. At that point, you know, you could also go in and look at contract buyouts for guys like Joachim Nielsen, who just can't get over the injury bug. Now, as I mentioned, contract buyouts, like most things, you know, you have to think about two things. There's the cap, and then there's the cash. And while, you know, players come in and this is what their cap money is, and buyout players allow you to free up cap money and it allows you to free up roster spaces, you still have to pay players the cash contract. And so you always have to keep those two things in mind when you talk about the next season. But no, undoubtedly, new window, potentially some player sales, they'll be able to spend some money this next January.
Matthew Rocchio continuing to join us, part of the team here at Camo X, but also cover City SC for STL Sports Central. They bring in a couple new players as well, Devin Paddleford, also Songbin Jeong comes in. What should fans know about either of these individuals?
So Songbin Jeong is really the big move. That's why they spent, you know, $1.7 million on him. And really, if you know City, Rasmus Alm's a player that they haven't had this year. They finally put him on the season-ending injury list, and his job was pretty simple. He's just supposed to bomb up and down the right side of the flank, providing an attacking edge in the final third on that right side, combining with Thomas Totlin to be dangerous on that right side. And City has not had that at any point this season because they haven't had Rasmus Alm. And because of that, they've been playing Simon Bescher or Cedric Teuchert out of position on that right flank. So Sungbin Jeong allows you to play a out-and-out classical right winger who plays there, who's comfortable there, who has shown that he can produce from that position in this formation in MLS. So it's a big move, and it allows them to really play their system to its fullest. And then Paddleford really just reinforces what they have at the back. He's been more of a center back at times for Minnesota in their five-back formation, but in this four-back formation for St. Louis City, it's looking like they're profiling him more as an outside left back. Obviously, that position has been in flux for the entirety of St. Louis City's existence. You have had Jay Reed this year. You've had Yaziel Orozco, who's had a couple big games, but getting another depth spot at the one position that's been in such transition for St. Louis City. I understand that depth. I am a little bit confused as to why they gave up a third-round pick in the MLS Super Draft for a lone player, which is what Paddleford is, which means that he'll depart at the end of the season. So one of the things that we hope to find out tomorrow at the pregame press conference is whether or not there's, or maybe at the transfer window press conference with Lutz in a couple weeks, whether or not there's an option to buy him, because it would seem like an odd move. And just to put this in baseball terms, you can literally use the word loan now that we're at the trade deadline. It seems like an odd move to give up a third-round draft pick for a six-month loan when you're in a losing season.
Matthew Rocchio covers City SC for STL Sports Central. You said you're working on some stuff. What can folks expect if they want to take in some of your City content over at STL Sports Central?
Tomorrow night we'll have a live taping of our podcast right from our studios. Me and Will Brad will be doing our weekly podcast, Boots on the Ground. And what we usually do is we'll take some look at some things that happened in the City versus Dallas game that you haven't really seen anybody else break down, because everyone else is going to talk about the goals that they happened. We're going to talk about the plays that could have led to goals but didn't, to kind of show you what's the good thing that City's doing, what's the problems that City's doing. So we'll have a live show right on YouTube under STL Sports Central live tomorrow, breaking down some City stuff. It'll be fun.
He is Matthew Rocchio. We appreciate the time. Once again, happy birthday, and we'll see you here very soon.
Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate that. You have a great night.
Very good. That's Matthew Rocchio joining us on the program, talking a little City SC soccer. Obviously, some complications. It's a complicated financial structure. A lot of people think baseball's complicated, and maybe just because I've sort of lived it in baseball, I'm more understanding of that than other things. But it is it's complicated when you get into everything that goes on with soccer, and it has an international touch as well, because you are moving players across leagues, where today you move Klaus and he goes to a completely different league. But I think it's a legit thing. People fell in love with this team in that first amazing year. And there were so many great personalities and people who endeared themselves to St. Louis sports fans. And a lot of those guys are long gone. You know, we've done the caravans each year with City. The first one we ever did, I wasn't there for it, but it was Klaus. And there was a huge, huge crowd for it. And those guys only need to stay there for a certain amount of time. Klaus stayed there and signed autographs and took pictures until the line was all the way down, just staying there forever. When I've done those things with a lot of guys that I mentioned, it's the same way. And in some ways, it feels like the personality of the team is left. And I think that's a challenge when the team is not winning. If the team's winning, then okay, cool. They upgraded the roster with better players. When the team's not winning, it's like, well, they could be doing this with guys that I have an affection for. So that's where the team is at, and they got to start winning at some point. That's the theme of this show. They got to start winning at some point. Whether we're talking about Cardinals or City, they got to start winning at some point in time. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of A Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the show. We've got Cardinals baseball tomorrow night as they welcome in the San Diego Padres. Once again, a reminder for you that tomorrow's Gas House Gang during the noon hour, it's going to feature the hosts are going to be Chris Ranji and Bernie Miklas. And the guest tomorrow, Mike Schilt's going to be on, former Cardinals manager, now manager of the Padres. And also Will Leach is going to be on. So that's going to be a heck of a show during the 12 o'clock hour coming up tomorrow. Hopefully you are tuned in for that. Quick update from the Memphis Redbirds as J.J. Weatherholt continues to destroy AAA pitching. Kyle Six is here. Kyle, we watched the videos together a moment ago. So Weatherholt, as Justin makes note of in the chat, has hit two home runs in this game today. The first home run that he hits leaves the bat at 101 miles per hour. It travels 409 feet. That's a pretty good poke. It's a pretty good poke.
Yeah.
All right. Second home run that he hits leaves the bat at 105 miles per hour, and that thing travels 444 feet. An absolute bomb from Weatherholt, who is not having any issues whatsoever with what he's seen at AAA.
No, not at all. 444 feet, that'd be the longest homer for any Cardinals player this year. I know Wilson hit one 443 in Colorado over this road trip,
yeah.
But what a impressive display from Weatherholt. Two absolute bombs.
I do, like, at some point in time, we're going to talk through things leading up to the trade deadline, and it feels like the team is en route to being a seller at the deadline, and that will get more defined as we get closer to that being the case. But then we're going to get to the trade deadline, and the talking point after that is going to be, do you give Weatherholt a chance? And I lean yes. I wait until you get past that date where he's still eligible for Rookie of the Year awards next year, because there's draft pick compensation that goes along with that. So getting him up 2 weeks earlier and then not being eligible the next year, that's not worth it to me. But the moment he's eligible, man, I get him up here. And I know it creates a roster crunch, but we'll see. Maybe it doesn't. We'll see what the roster looks like after the trade deadline. It might be able to present itself in a way that's pretty easy to do. But if he keeps doing this, you give him the chance to get his feet wet in the big leagues this year, so he's got a little bit of big league experience before contending for a job next year in spring training. Thanks for being tuned in. It's been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.